A wonderful Christmas greeting to all of you. It's so good to see you here. It's so good to see faces who've come back for visits. It's so good to see families together as we gather on this important night to hear this familiar and wonderful story. Because Luke's gospel, Luke's story of the birth of Jesus, is the one, as I said, we hear every Christmas Eve. The words are familiar to most of us. They're beloved to many of us. It's a popular part of our Christian faith. It's part of our popular culture as we take Matthew and Luke and kind of mix their Christmas stories together. And when we hear the story from Luke on Christmas, I think there's usually two different ways in which we view this story. The first is to ask, what did this mean for those who are in the story? What did this mean for Mary, for Joseph, for those shepherds? The second thing we ask is, what does this story mean for us? What is this all about for us in our lives? But tonight, I'm going to ask you to do a little dreaming, a little imagining with me, because I'd like to talk about this story from a third perspective. I'd like to talk about it from the perspective of the very first person who ever read Luke's story of the birth of Jesus. And the amazing thing is, we know who this person is. We actually know his name because Luke tells us at the very beginning of his gospel. His name was Theophilus. Now, we don't know much about Theophilus. He was probably someone in the upper levels of society, perhaps nobility or an official, because Luke refers to him as most excellent Theophilus. We know his name, which is Greek, means a friend of God or someone who is beloved of God. But we do know this about Theophilus. He was so important to the author of the Gospel of Luke that he wrote not just his gospel, but also the book of the Acts of the Apostles for this one man. Both of these books now in our Bible were written for Theophilus. Luke went to all of this work for one person. He went to it because, as he says at the beginning of his gospel, he wanted to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us for Theophilus. And why did he write this for him? He tells us that too. So that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. Luke writes his gospel to help Theophilus learn about Jesus Christ. He wanted Theophilus to know the truth. He wanted Theophilus to be properly instructed. And this is at the heart of why this gospel exists. So, now I'd like you to let your mind wander, not wander to later tonight when the room is strewn with wrapping paper everywhere and you've OD'd on Christmas candy. Not that. I want you to let your mind wander with me and ask this question. What might Theophilus, this man living 1900 years ago, what might he possibly have thought as he read these words for the very first time? What did this story mean to the very first person who ever read it? In those days, it starts out. You see, when Theophilus read this story, it was already an old one, 80, 90 years old. By the time he reads it, it starts with a once upon a time quality to it. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. What did Theophilus think when he read that sentence? Because Theophilus lived in a world vastly different from ours. He lived in a world that was dominated by Rome. That's hard for us to imagine. But his world was all Rome. It was all the emperor. And even though the emperor Augustus was long dead by the time Theophilus read this story, other emperors ruled with the same power and authority, and many of them were worshipped as living gods. Theophilus, perhaps, was a servant of one of these emperors. But what did he think as he starts to read this story? And Luke tells him, Theophilus, most excellent Theophilus, there is someone who is more important. There is someone who is more powerful than even your emperor. Because Augustus may have been the most important person in the world, but the Lord is at the center of this story. And it's the Lord who works behind the scenes to bring about the birth of the Messiah, someone who is so powerful that the emperor could not even begin to fathom it. In fact, Luke tells Theophilus, this emperor, he actually is a servant of God because it is his census that brings Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. God will use the emperor to accomplish his holy will. Theophilus would have kept reading. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. The ruler of the Roman world is mentioned in the same breath as these ordinary people who otherwise would deserve no mention, Mary and Joseph and this little baby. This little baby who was born under the most ordinary but yet extraordinary circumstances. This baby who, unlike the emperor, is not born in a palace, who has no magnificent home. In fact, he is so poor that he doesn't even have a roof over his head, and he is forced to make his bed in a feeding trough for an animal. Says Luke to Theophilus, this birth that went unnoticed in the world, this birth will change the world forever. So what did Theophilus think when he read this far? Was he intrigued? Was he puzzled? What was going on in his mind? Because next he comes to shepherds and angelic visitors. Now, Theophilus would have known something about how you make an important announcement because he was a Roman. And the Romans were very good at making important announcements. They knew how to do the pomp. They knew how to do the circumstances. They knew how to do the trumpets blaring, soldiers in glimmering uniforms lined up. Theophilus knew about beautiful monuments that had the emperor's words engraved in granite and marble. But had he ever heard of a greeting like this? To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. What ran through his mind as he read those words? Words about shepherds, words about a baby in a borrowed feeding bowl wearing strips of cloth. And as he read these words, did Theophilus understand that when he read of those shepherds who went and told everyone what they had seen and heard, that he was part of that line, part of that tradition of all the people who had had the good news of Jesus shared with them? Did he catch on that he was being instructed just as the people in the story had been instructed as well? And finally, what did he think of these words? But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. How did Theophilus feel? What did he think about when he came to the end of the story? I will admit to you, I would give anything to have been peeking over Theophilus' shoulder and watching him as he had that scroll in his hand. I would have loved to have known, is he reading it to himself? Is he sharing it with others? When he was done, did he let out a wow? Or however Greeks would say wow, I don't know how they'd say wow. What was his reaction when this was all over? For 1900 years, these few short verses from Luke's pen have inspired, uplifted, and encouraged believers. And we today who are gathered here on this Christmas, we continue in Theophilus' footsteps. Whenever we hear or read this story, we join in the centuries-long procession. So, I'm going to ask you to think again, assuming you've been paying attention and thinking properly this whole time so far. Think about now, 2015, and think about what this passage means to us, and think about it in terms of what if you today, sitting here tonight, what if you were the first one to hear this story? What would it say to you in the year 2015? What is God trying to tell you? We don't have an emperor today, but we still have important people and important events. Our world today is very much like the world in which Theophilus lived. It is a world that is filled with toil, with struggle, with joy, and with sorrow. We live in a world that is divided economically, divided racially, politically, philosophically, culturally, and religiously, just like Theophilus's world was divided. We live in a world filled with fear and violence. And unlike Theophilus's world, we get to hear about it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this world of ours, what is Luke trying to say to you? To remind you that in spite of all these things going on in our world, there is one who is greater than anything else. One who was working behind the scenes, quietly behind the scenes, as quietly as a baby in a manger. What does it say to you about this one who is still working to bring peace, love, and salvation? And if you're someone who's frightened, someone who's nervous about this world of ours, what do the angel's words say to you? Because again, what are the first words out of the angel's mouth? What is the first word always out of an angel's mouth? Don't be afraid. Does this story help us? Does it give us comfort? Does it give us solace in the times when we are afraid? And those of us who are gathered here tonight, who are all ordinary people, not world known, how does this story speak to you and to me about the fact that God says, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior? Remember that. This story tells you that you are so important to God, that he gave his son for you. What does that do for you as you face your daily lives? Does it bring you joy and excitement? And also think about this. Just like Theophilus, just like the people who heard those shepherds, you are someone who has had other people share the good news of Jesus Christ with you. Think about all the people who have gone out of their way to share this story, to share his love, to share their faith about Jesus with you and what that means for you. And think about the people maybe you have had the opportunity to share this story with, those whose lives have been touched because of your faith. When you do that, you are just like those shepherds on Christmas. And lastly, I'd like you to think about this. What do you treasure and what do you ponder about this story? Because you see, the Christmas story is not something we pull out once a year, read it, and then shove it away. This is a story about pondering and treasuring. And if there is one thing I want you to take home from my sermon tonight, other than the name Theophilus, it is this. I want you to think about what do you treasure and what do you ponder, not just about this story, but about Jesus. What great treasure does he give you? Where does he open your mind to think about what life should be about? In a short time, we are going to leave this place and we are going to head out to the controlled chaos called Christmas. And I pray we all have a wonderful, wonderful time. But in the midst of this Christmas celebration, in the midst of every day of our lives, take the time to remember Theophilus. Take the time to remember this story. Take the time to remember what God has done for you on this night. Ponder that and treasure that every time you hear these words. For I am bringing you good news of a great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your pondering. Enjoy your treasuring.